Heat fans did not get their money's worth on Wednesday, but finally got something even better, a blowout win, just their eighth win by double-digit deficit all season. Sure, the Grizzlies were shorthanded, but that hasn't mattered much this year. Instead, Miami's inside approach on offense led to an impressive 21-point win over one of the best defenses in the NBA. What went right? And has Eric Spoelstra found a new rotation that doesn't include Victor Oladipo? We break it all down and answer your questions on today's episode of Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on the Miami Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day and for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. It's happening, David. It's happening. It's finally happening.
What do I do with my hands?
Positive regression to the mean. We finally, it's happening. After shooting 41% against the Utah Jazz, the Heat shoot 44.8% on threes in tonight's win over the Grizzlies. Here's a stat from our friend Cooper Moorhead. This is the first time all season that the Heat have shot 40-plus percent in three or from three in back-to-back games. The sixth time that they've shot 40% in the last 10 games. That's crazy that this is the first time all year that the Heat have shot better than 40% in two straight games. That in the year of 2023, in this economy, this is the first time that that's happening. That says a lot about where the Heat have been all season and how poorly they've shot all season. And it says a lot about how well they have been shooting lately, David.
Absolutely. It was a fantastic, just a great game overall to see. After a night where I was a little frustrated in a win over the Utah Jazz, just pleading for a blowout win, finally they get one. And a lot of it was just incredible to see their inside-out approach. I hinted at it in the cold opener to start the show. But watching the game, you could really see how Miami looked to attack Memphis early on. Defense is fantastic. Their Grizzlies defense is really, really good. Even though they're shorthanded, we should mention that. No Ja Morant, obviously. No Steven Adams due to injury. And Desmond Bain gets ejected in the third quarter for a shot to, let's say, Kevin Love's privates in the third quarter. He was
Kevin Love's little likes. Yeah, wasn't nice.
Yeah. He was not happy with that. That caused his back to spasm up. Anyway, that's something we'll talk about a little bit later on. But look, Grizzlies defense still really good. They were doing a great job hedging on the three-point shot, preventing Miami from getting open looks from the perimeter. So Jimmy Butler, as the head of the snake, so to speak, said, you know what, I'm going to attack the paint. And he did so with incredible aggression and tenacity. And everybody just fed off of that. Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Gabe Vincent, everybody getting to the rim early on. And then as a result, that opened up the floor much more considerably. They didn't shoot particularly well from three in the first quarter and then shot better and better as the game progressed. So that inside-out approach really effective for Miami. We haven't seen them play with this kind of level of intention and purpose and efficiency, I think, all season. I know it was their season high in scoring. They've had bigger deficits in terms of like their margin of victory, and yet it was still, I think, their most impressive offensive game all season long.
The ball movement was great. This has been about a two-week process, basically since the All-Star break, of changing the offense. If anybody that's watched the Miami Heat closely can see that the offense, since adding Kevin Love, since the All-Star break, has been dramatically different than what it was before. They're trying to do different things. Specifically, they're trying to get to the basket more. It's actually something that you and I had pointed out two months ago or something, where one of the reasons, one of our hypotheses for why the Heat's three-point shooting wasn't as good as it was last year was because all of their passes were coming from 15 feet, that like free throw kind of line range where Bam likes to operate and Jimmy likes to operate. Yeah, the mid-range. And so when you're kicking out from mid-range, then that closeout for the defense isn't as difficult. It's not as far, and you could do it better. And I think the Heat realized that because they've been so intentional about getting to the rim. They've like almost at the cost of losing what was their best form of offense, which was that mid-range. They still have a little bit of that mid-range stuff, but not to the same extent. And it's been a process of trying to get here and trying to find the right lineup mixes. Like, okay, how often do we play Kevin Love? Who do we play him with? Where are we putting Kyle Lowry? Is he come off the bench? Like, what are we going to do with Max? How can we create spacing? And tonight, it's easy to say it after they scored 138 points, but it did feel like they earned those 138 points. Like, the shot was going in because I thought the shots were good. The ball movement was good because, like you said, they were moving with intent. They had a plan on offense. Like, they were getting to the two-man game between Tyler and Bam, something that you and I discussed maybe that they were going to build on after that Utah game. And we saw signs of this in that Jazz game. And I feel like we saw the best version of it. I agree with you 100%, David. This was the best offensive night I've seen from the Miami Heat all year. It was more fluid. It was more crisp. It was more intentional. It felt like they had a plan, and they executed on that plan. And it's been a weeks-long process to get here, and we saw it tonight. Now, whether or not they continue to play offense in this way, nobody knows. But the fact that they did it tonight was, I thought, a really good proof of concept.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 62 points in the paint against the number one team in terms of points in the paint allowed in the NBA. That's impressive. Jared Jackson Jr. leading the league in blocks, only one block tonight. He had a solid overall game offensively, although he got gifted a friendly whistle. Like, conversely, like, Jackson was attacking the paint for the Memphis Grizzlies early, and then he wound up spreading, going out to the perimeter and knocking down a couple of those really
off-balance
threes.
It took it away. I
thought
that was a really good counter by Miami. Like, oh, Jaren Jackson's going to be doing this in the first quarter, and then they basically took it away from the rest of the game.
That's right. And they were more than willing to let Sandy, I forgot what his name is. I can never remember that guy's name. He killed us.
Santi Aldama.
Yeah.
He's going to make you
killer.
Remember.
Yeah. The random scrub Heat killer who really knocked. Look, Miami face on underrated.
He's all right.
He's all right. It's just a random player that kills Miami. But anyway, they were without Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. the first time Miami played, and they wound up blowing out the Heat that first matchup of the season. Miami gets a little bit of revenge with intent, with purpose, a much more balanced offense, 33 assists on 49 made field goals, just a great overall performance, really, really strong showing from them.
Just 13 turnovers also.
Yes.
And you see how it also transfers over defensively. I know that they gave up 119 points for the game, but the fourth quarter was all garbage time. Like, the Memphis Grizzlies put their white towel lineup in to start the fourth quarter. So to me, those last 12 minutes are all garbage time. I don't care. They really limited what it was that the Grizzlies could do. That third quarter was just bananas by the Heat. 42-26, they outscored the Grizzlies in that third quarter. They got it done with the bench also. You know, one of the things that we talk a lot about is the three-point shooting, and what kind of goes under the radar but is still a very big issue is the Heat's bench. And having Kyle Lowry come off the bench, it was as good of a floor game as he's played since he's come back from his knee injury. And he really gave that second unit a real identity. And you saw how he was able to set up guys like Max and Caleb. Caleb had 11 points off the bench. Max had 12 points off the bench. Miami's bench was really good tonight. They had all five of their starters scored in double digits. This might have been Kevin Love's best game in a Miami Heat uniform, going 3 of 7 from three-point range. I don't know when the last time we saw Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler all score 20-plus. Jimmy had 24, Bam had 26, and Tyler had 24. I don't know the last time I saw that happen. I'm sure it happened at some point this year, but I don't know when. And to your point,
I think it felt like fairly recently, but I mean, it hasn't mattered. It doesn't necessarily translate into victory
in a win
if nobody else is stepping up.
And this is Miami's biggest win since January 18th when they beat the Pelicans by 26 points. I mean, it has been a while. It has been a while. And Eric Spoelstra said that. He said that after the game, he had to keep looking up at the scoreboard. He's like, is this really the score, or is this going to be another clutch game? He couldn't believe it. And he was so like happy with it. And the fact that Jimmy Butler only had to play 28 minutes tonight, Bam 33, Tyler 33, they still kept Kyle Lowry at his what seems to be his minutes limit now at 20 minutes. There's just not much you could say that went poorly for the Heat. And, you know, if Grizzlies fans want to say, like, you know, that we have no Ja Morant, no Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark, that stuff is a big deal. They were also a team that came into tonight on a 3-game win streak. Now, two of those wins were against Dallas Mavericks team that isn't very good and losing their best and were without their two best players. But still, like, this is a Grizzlies team that is still very good and woke up this morning number two in the Western Conference, despite all of the things that they've been dealing with on and off the court. And so they're not a bad basketball team. So you were able to do this. It's a good win. And to your point, the offense really is the story here. We've got a lot of credit cookies to hand out. And this might be, David, the most difficult allotment of credit cookies that we've had to do all season. We'll tell you why that is. First, today's episode of Locked On Heat is brought to you by Ultimate Pro Basketball. GM. Look, I'm really excited about our new partner and sponsor of the show, the mobile game Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NBA general manager and managing your basketball franchise, then your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. Manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through the season, and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for hiring the right coaches and assistants, trading and training players, making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, all the ups and downs of the season, building your facilities, improving your marketing department. All of it is up to you. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is completely free and playable offline, play on the go, and you want when you want to play. If you were a fan of the Madden franchise mode, this game is literally made for you. Okay, like I loved Madden franchise mode growing up. I would spend hours on it. I've already spent hours on this one. Like if that was your stuff, this is going to be your stuff too. Locked On Heat listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to go check that out. To download the game, just visit probasketballgm.com, scan the code, or just look it up in your app store. That's probasketballgm.com, Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. Locked On Heat is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so please do subscribe. It's a Heat win, which means it's time to get in the kitchen and whip up some credit cookies. David, we've got 10 of them. What kind of cookies are we whipping up tonight?
You know, Memphis, well known for their barbecue, so I found a recipe for barbecue spice cookies. Mix it into the dough. Yeah, it's a thing. Barbecue spice cookies, a little hint of smoky barbecue flavor and any sweet, sensational bite. So, you know, Miami had a cookie tonight.
You mix that into a sugar cookie? So then you got like the sweet and smoky thing? That actually does not sound like it would suck. I'm a little intrigued. You said it's a thing. Is it really a thing or is it just an internet thing?
I don't know.
Did you see photos?
Yes, I saw pictures. People
have made
them.
Okay, so people have made them. Okay.
Yeah, even leaving feedback for somebody who had left a recipe on food.com. So I did my research.
Shout out to food.com. Great. How expensive was that URL? Good for them. They got it early. All right. 10 of them. Where do we start, David?
I think you have to start with Jimmy Butler. He was such a difference maker early on, and I think he gets the bulk of the cookies just by virtue of having their strongest overall performance. Bam led the team in scoring, but the well-rounded approach, again, the table was set by Jimmy. 12 free throws in 28 minutes, 9 of those in the first quarter. He was really engaged. I told
More
you
free
I
throws
wasn't
than
sure.
Field goal attempts.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. Like, I wasn't sure what kind of approach he'd have to today's game after, you know, being visibly frustrated over the last week. So reporting about whether or not, he's been a little or he's difficult to deal with. And, you know, how does he feel going into tonight's game? You know, he came in shirtless following the Utah win, a level of frustration possibly growing for Jimmy. And yet, you know what? Business as usual for him. He went in there, hair was out of the braids. Goes with it. I like the approach. It reminds me a little bit of Bubble Jimmy. Just the way he kind of, let everything go. And he was really attacking. Again, sensing what Memphis's defense was taking and giving, and he was able to take advantage of it just as he has all season long.
I love how he's coming out. I love how he's coming out in these games recently. It's fully engaged playoff Jimmy. And I'll actually backtrack on that a little bit. I don't know that it's fully engaged playoff Jimmy for the entire four quarters of the game. But when we say that, what I mean is he's not looking to defer. He's not looking to get guys involved early in games anymore. He's looking to set the tone early in the game. And you could tell that this is something that Eric Spoelstra is talking to him about and emphasizing is we got enough guys who could pass the ball and swing the ball around. We need you to just go out and crash the paint because like we were saying earlier, that sets up everything else for their offense. And Jimmy Butler has been doing that over the last couple of weeks. And while he's on the scoring surge and those two things, that's not a coincidence that he's scoring more points. Miami's offense is scoring more points, right? Like you see players, I'll throw out a couple of names if you want. Bradley Beal is one of them, like where they score like 30 plus a game, but it doesn't feel like their offense. Kyrie Irving is another one of these guys where they could go out and score 32 points, but it doesn't ever feel like their offense overall.
Empty calories.
I mean, it's not, empty calories is a little harsh because the points still matter, but it doesn't feel like they're elevating the offense in any meaningful way. And so when Jimmy is actually scoring it like this, the offense just flows better. Like it has like the symbiotic relationship. And that's something that Spo understands. And obviously Jimmy Butler understands. So I love the intent that he's coming out with early in the games. Also worth mentioning,
he had a triple double. I mean, like he had 6 assists, oh, yeah, 8 rebounds, and 23 points. They get it.
That's a LeBron stat line. Yeah, that's like a you know,
that's very efficient, effective, and impactful across the board. Yeah,
one turnover. I mean, fantastic. He was awesome. The other thing with him too is there's been a lot of I don't even want to use the reporting because it's not. It's been just bad aggregation about the our friend Nick Friedell writing for ESPN recently that Jimmy Butler was playing nickelback in the locker room after a recent loss.
Jimmy Butler.
And that kind of got re-aggregated, like game of telephone, as in like Jimmy Butler was punishing his teammates because he was playing nickelback. And now I am not going to sit here and defend Jimmy Butler's music taste. He's got hits and he's got misses, okay?
Yeah.
He does not play Nickelback, ironically. He likes that song, okay? He's posted that song to his Instagram a lot. Nick Friedell never used the word punished in his story at ESPN.com. That is not what was happening. Jimmy Butler, for those who are around and cover the team or are in that locker room, no. He's got his own speaker that he brings to these games, or that he, more accurately, has brought to the games for him, and plays music on the in the locker room after every game, win, lose, draw, every time. And so tonight, because this is now a talking point, just so that you guys know, I'm going to do some reporting on my side. The song in the locker room after tonight's game was John Mayer's cover of Beyonce's EXO, which low-key, actually better than Beyonce's version. Don't come at me, Beyonce Hive, but John Mayer's version was better than the Beyonce version.
The Beyhive is going to kill you when you're
mentioned. It's coming. It's coming for me, but I stand by that. I'm going to stand by that. Might be the hottest take I've had all year. But for those who like to read a lot into that, you find the coded message in John Mayer's EXO being played in the locker room. All right, Jimmy Butler, how many cookies? How many barbecue-flavored whatever Memphis cookies?
Three?
Okay, fair. Yep, I like it. Three, and maybe more, great. if other players didn't also play great.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant when I teased into that last break. Like, this is hard. I mentioned the 5 starters in double digits, 2 guys off the bench in double figures, and then Kyle Lowry had a great game, and he only had 8 points, but I thought he was so impactful in his minutes. So this is really difficult. Let's just do Bam and Tyler really quick because they're the high scorers. Bam with 26, Tyler had 24. Bam was just he was special, but nothing new. You know, 26 points, 8 rebounds, had a few assists, got to his spots a little bit more, had a few shots over Jaren Jackson that I thought was a little bit of a message, maybe, and you love to see that. But then specific to Tyler, I think the biggest thing with him is the decision-making, and specifically to that, the quick decision-making. And except for one shot where he was kind of on a heat check in the third quarter and he kind of just pivoted over the three-point beyond the three-point line into like this long two-pointer where I think it was Max Strus who was wide open and he just ignored him. Other than that one, and he made that shot, by the way, so I don't even care. Yeah. Other than that one shot, everything was quick decision, fast trigger, pull it up for the three, get or move the ball. He was only, 2 of 6 from 3-point range tonight, but 9 of 14 from 2-point range. He made his first 6 2-pointers on the night. I loved his floor game in general, the decision-making, the 6 assists, had that great outlet pass in the third quarter as well. One of the better Tyler games we've seen in a long time.
Very efficient, very effective. It was, again, he was so decisive with the ball, no over dribbling around the perimeter, and the shot was falling, something we haven't seen at home very often from Tyler this season. And he was a huge part of that second quarter run. It was a 13-2 run that helped kind of create that buffer. And then they continued to build off that. He scored 7 points in that run, 2 of 4 shooting, 1 of 3 from 3-point range. He just looked excellent all night. Very effective from the floor. It might have been one of his better games, even without the monster level of production. He didn't need to put out that many points because he was just really, really good at what he was doing.
And so many other guys were scoring too. And that's what I loved, is he recognized that. And he's like, okay, like everybody eats, let's go. And I am more impressed with the 6 assists to the 2 turnovers. That's a really good ratio. I'm more impressed with that than even the scoring, like the 24 points. But 2 cookies each to Bam and Tyler.
Yeah, that feels fair. I like Bam's overall game, to be honest with you. Attacking Jaren Jackson Jr., but also out blocking him too with 3 blocks. I know that was a point of contention. I'm not sure if Bam was asked that in post game or not. But
no, I wish I had even seen. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, yeah. He had three blocks. And you could tell early in the first quarter, he was like, anything that was near him, there was just an extra little bit of elevation, a little bit more motivation perhaps, and he was getting that shot block. He was blocking any shots within his perimeter there. It was a fantastic performance from him early on. Again, setting the table and then eventually finding a rhythm. Really, really good for the mid-range today and also getting the rim. Had a great couple of dunks. One that was, again, off a feed from Jimmy Butler where he was driving the lane. He just dunked on everybody. It was fantastic.
Let's quickly do the other ones. We already mentioned Kyle Lowry. I think he gets a cookie. That means we have two more.
Yeah. All right. I think one to Kevin Love, too. I mean,
okay. One to Kevin Love. All right. So this is why it's going to be hard. One to Kevin Love. I agree with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. One to Kevin Love. One to Kyle. And I'd say one to Caleb.
Caleb.
Although I'm kind of tempted to give one to Haywood Highsmith, who won him coming in there and playing extended minutes. He wasn't.
He gets the. Great. Well, let's put a pin in the Highsmith thing because we're going to get that. We're going to get that in the listener question. So he gets a shout out, but not a cookie. Gabe kind of also deserves one. Like, he has been so important with the 3-point shooting. Yeah, it's kind of like the last two games. It's not a coincidence that Gabe Vincent, 2 of 2 tonight, it's not like crazy volume, but he's making the shots finally. And the last two games when the Heat have been making their 3-pointers has coincided with Gabe Vincent making his 3-pointers. Like, him and Tyler are kind of the guys right now. Where Max Strus's minutes were a little bit more regular tonight, but he was out of the second half against the Jazz, and his minutes were sort of fluctuating in the last few games. So it really comes down to Tyler and Gabe to space the floor. So unfortunately, I don't know. Do we have to maybe take one? I think Gabe deserves one just for the shooting. Do we take one away from Jimmy and just say, you know what, team first?
Yes. Okay. Why not? I'm sure Jimmy would appreciate it.
I think he would too. I don't think he even wants the cookies based on. He probably doesn't eat these cookies based on that shirtless photo from the other day. Ripped. All right. Anyway, that'll do it. So for the credit cookies, those are all 10, right? Yeah. Caleb Martin, the steal in the first half, had that cut off of Bam got an offensive rebound. Caleb saw it, cut off of it, finished with this on the left side of the rim when it looked like he was going to his right. Like, his cuts are so good. He's got such great timing.
Yeah, a lot more touch. Great touch around the rim too. Like, he's got crazy. The reverse package. Is undeniable. He's got a lot in that bag too. Like, I did not know he had that kind of touch around the basket. Less dunks this season, although he had one.
He had one over Luke Kennard.
Yeah, Luke Kennard. Yeah. Luke Kennard. You can't catch break.
No, that was not a great way to be welcomed to Memphis. We're gonna break down the specifics of Spo's new rotation and if you stumbled on a new lineup next. But David, first, tell listeners about our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built. The Built March Madness bracket is here, and we know you've got a favorite bar or puff, so now's your time to make a count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. I'll be voting for the cookies and cream bar, but there's so many others to choose from. And if you want the Heat to win, just like you want the Heat to win, you should vote for your favorite Built bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff, and when you do vote, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built, the best protein bar ever, 100% covered in chocolate, all high in protein, low in sugar, and real chocolate. Great taste. You won't even know they're good for you. So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff. And pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. Today's episode is also brought to you by FanDuel. 80% of the season, 90% of the season almost gone for the NBA, but so it's still the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, just in time for the NBA playoffs. New customers get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's a bonus bet back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. And you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores, number of threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Locked On Heat, Twitter, Instagram, email us, LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks to everybody who sent in their questions for the post-game show using the hashtag AskLOHeat. This one comes from our friend EJ, who writes in, have the Heat found their new rotation, Max Strus and Highsmith over Victor Oladipo? There's a lot to get into with this rotation. So I've just got a few notes. I'll run through them, and then you just sort of cherry pick what it is that is most interesting to you, and we'll go from there. But here's just basically the new rotation for the Miami Heat. First of all, no Victor Oladipo. He was out. Spo did say after the game that that was probably not the – that it wasn't the plan, and that the first person he talked to in the locker room postgame was Victor Oladipo, and basically said and explained, like, that wasn't the plan, but the game just went that way. We'll talk about that here in a second, if whether or not I even believe that. But keep going with the notes here. More Caleb Martin and Max Strus, a bunch of minutes for them. Max played 32 minutes. Caleb played almost 30 minutes. Some of that is because they had to play all the garbage time minutes in the fourth quarter, but it was very clear that there was a heavy dose of both Caleb and Max when the minutes really did matter. Staggering Kyle Lowry and Gabe Vincent, that's new. Making sure that one of them was always on the court. Over the last few weeks, Spo would experiment with Gabe kind of sliding over to a scoring guard and having Kyle Lowry on the court with him. Nope, staggered both of them. One was in, one was out. That was how it went. 1 8-minute stint for Kevin Love in each half, and that was basically his minutes. And then staggering Jimmy Butler and Bam in a very extreme way, in that there was no minutes. Even not like the token 1 minute here where you kind of get like stuck in your rotations and your sub patterns. No, not a single second, I don't think, unless I missed it, without Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo, without one of those guys on the court. And then Haywood Highsmith, to the question from EJ. Haywood Highsmith, some unplanned minutes with Yurtsevin getting into foul trouble early on. He picked up like 3 fouls in like what felt like 16 seconds.
Not great.
We'll get to the Highsmith stuff here in a second, but to you, what's most interesting?
The no Victor Oladipo. I think that's where you begin and start. I mean, you have to just acknowledge the fact that so many people considered him to be a big part of Miami's offseason and also just moving forward with the regular season. We've seen big minutes from him. We've seen him have big games. But you and I have kept driving this point home over the last few weeks, is that a lot of it just seems like there is no actual purpose to a lot of what he does on offense. Offensively, he's still attacking passing lanes, does a great job on switches, still a pretty solid overall defender, if not an elite level defender anymore. And yet offensively, it's been problematic because he just goes in there, dribbles the hell out of the ball, runs around, and then puts up either a bad layup or a bad shot for the perimeter. Sometimes they fall, sometimes they don't. And to live and die by that kind of shooting isn't a very effective way to lead the offense. Now, in turn, you get Kyle Lowry. He's healthy. And he looks really, really good in these limited minutes. It's where he's most effective, just being efficient, just running the floor, putting up shots, and doing what he needs to do, setting the table for others on offense, something that Victor, as much as he might get those assist numbers, it doesn't really
feel... He's not a point guard. Yeah, I mean, he's not a point guard in the way that Kyle Lowry is.
Right. It might be dumping the ball in a drive that where he collapses the defense or something like that, and that's all fine and good, but it's not nearly effective enough. There's something to finding the way that the offense flows in the half court set. And that's what Kyle does so good. He knows, he's done it for so many years. He does it effectively, even now as his body is older and he's not in quite the shape he once was. So yeah. I think he's just very, very effective. And you put him in there in those minutes, Victor becomes superfluous. Like, I don't know if he's going to be out of the rotation completely, but he's just not as necessary now that Kyle has found his niche in the second unit.
Kyle Lowry is a sixth man that the Miami Heat have been searching for all season. He was obviously starting to start the year, and Victor Oladipo was injured to start the year. And remember, there was a time where Max Strus was sort of the scoring guard off the bench. He was trying to kind of reprise the Tyler Hero role, with Tyler obviously being in the starting lineup. And that didn't work because that's just not Max Strus's game, right? He's an off-ball guy. They've been certain, and then they were hoping that it would be Vic. And to your point, like, that's just not – Vic's not – that's not him, man. Like, that's not what this team needs. Not off the bench. They need an identity. And Kyle Lowry gives that to them. And I've said this all along. Like, if he's shooting poorly, not even playing well, whatever, the one thing that you can trust Kyle Lowry to do is put his imprint on the game in some way. And sometimes that's just, like, really important and enough for a second unit. I expect, and Spo has kind of said this a couple times. He keeps saying, like, I don't know what's going to happen 2-3 weeks, a month from now in regards to whether or not Kyle Lowry is going to come off the bench. And that, to me, seems like the timeline. I think we're going to see Kyle Lowry probably come off the bench for the rest of the regular season, is my guess, especially if it looks like this, because they need him. They need somebody who can run that unit. And, you know, if they're going to stagger Bam and Jimmy in this way, it's not really a true second unit anyway, because Lowry's going to be on the court with one of them at all times, depending on how the minutes pattern works out. So I love it. I think it really works. And I think, to your point, Victor Oladipo does not really have a role in that kind of second unit, because what Kyle Lowry needs is players who he can depend on. And by that, what I don't mean that you can't depend on Victor Oladipo, because that seems harsh, but like you just know what they're going to be doing. You just know what they're going to be doing. Like Vic, his good games and his bad games look exactly the same, except the good games, his wild shots go in and the bad games, they don't. But they look exactly the same. He doesn't play better in any other game. He just kind of plays the same. I just don't know if the shots are going to go in or not. And it's just too erratic. Yeah. And I've said this before. Like he plays in Miami's offense like he didn't read the playbook. And I am not accusing him of not reading the playbook, but that's just his style. He's more of a freelancer. And the Heat just don't need a freelancer right now. They need to know what this is going to be. And more specifically, they need the spacing. Because the other part of this, too, is when you're staggering Jimmy and Bam, you're not playing them together as much, which means that you're playing more shooters around those guys more often. And that's the other part of this group and this new rotation from Spo is I think we're seeing this lead to the increase in three-point shooting. It's, hey, as long as it's one of Bam or Jimmy on the court with other floor spacers, the shooting is just going to be better. Even though the net rating when Jimmy and Bam are on the court together is awesome good. They're clearly now the Miami Heat going in this direction where they're prioritizing spacing and getting to the rim. And there's just minutes there where Bam is just, it looks easier than ever for him to get to the rim. There was with Jimmy, same thing. And then there was a minute where Tyler Hero was just on the court with Haywood Highsmith in at center. And let's touch on that next, but he was able to just kind of dribble into that 18-foot range and just kind of mess around with the ball. And I can't remember who he crossed over. Was it Santi Aldama or somebody like that, where he just worked them. He just cooked them. And in the past, like, there would have not been enough spacing for him to cook, right? The ball would have just gotten stripped away. The defense would have collapsed. It would have been a turnover, something like that. And he had all the space in the world to just cook, and he did, and he got a great look out of it. Let's talk about Haywood Highsmith. The reason he was in this game was because Omer Yurtseven picked up those three fouls early. He was not on the original card. This was not supposed to be a Haywood Highsmith night, but they went to him. I teased going into the break, maybe Spo stumbled on a new lineup. I really liked Haywood Highsmith's minutes, and I really didn't like Omer Yurtseven's minutes. And considering that Cody Zeller is going to get this nose procedure in the next couple of days and then be out for, I don't know, however long and whatever, should Spo experiment with Highsmith at center a little bit more? Because the Grizzlies stayed big when Highsmith was on the court, and it didn't really matter, and I really liked the spacing. The Heat outscored the Grizzlies by 8 points in the non-garbage time minutes that Haywood Highsmith was playing center.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever questioned Haywood's defense or intensity or the energy he brings. It just, there were so many questions about every other aspect. He's not a great passer. He's not a great scorer. His confidence goes up and down depending on whether or not that first shot falls. Tonight, he was really, really good attacking the defense, just doing things with the ball too, just bringing it up court, initiating fast break opportunities there. And he looked really, really solid. That small ball lineup just looked much better. Kind of reminded me a little bit, I hate to say it, but the comparison to PJ Tucker felt like an obvious one, but it still kind of worked. I saw the similarities there. And if that works, I'm not sure if it's a break glass in case of emergency during the playoffs, but I don't see any reason why you wouldn't go to that. Now, again.
Oh, in the playoffs, I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking for the rest of this regular season, but maybe
I could. Yeah, I could see it. I kind of wanted to continue with the Oladipo conversation a little bit. You know, one, to talk about Spo's comments about whether or not, you know, he didn't intend to do this. And, you know,
all right, let's do that. Because so I asked Spo about it, and he said, you know, first guy I talked to was Vic and everything that I already said. But he also mentioned, like, you know, Max Strus being that guy the other night. And my follow-up to Spo was, look, you've got kind of 10 guys that you're trying to get to, but you're playing a 9-man rotation. It is somebody you have to sacrifice every single night. And then he actually disagreed with the 10 guys that he's trying to get to. He's like, Duncan's really good, and Omer's good, and these other, and Haywood's really good, giving us good minutes. So
that's,
I would disagree.
Ego maintenance.
It was. And I probably should have saw that coming, but it's true. Like there's a core 10 guys that he's trying to get to. But it's mostly been a 9-man rotation. So it does feel like somebody's gonna have to sacrifice every night. I don't know if it's going to be matchup dependent, but I'm telling you, man, I don't know that Victor Oladipo is in the plans. It doesn't mean that he's going to play again. That's just the way that the NBA works. Yeah. But I think that they're going to ride this as long as it's working.
Yeah, I mean, look, it could change completely if you eventually return Kyle to the starting lineup and then Gabe's minutes off the bench. I don't know how effective he'll be. I don't know whether or not you would just prefer having a bigger guard out there in Oladipo, who would be tasked with bringing the ball up and you know, doing what Gabe does right now. But I don't know that it's nearly effective. But however, if you're playing more minutes for Jimmy and Bam, as the playoffs always invariably reveal, then the staggering doesn't necessarily matter as much, and Oladipo can be much more of a complementary player. It would be trickier. I just don't see how it's going to work out, and that's up to Spo and the coaching staff to figure it out. But I could see Oladipo coming off the bench during the playoffs with Gabe's minutes restricted if you do wind up adding Lowry back to the starting line. I don't know. There's a lot of different possibilities there, but it's also dependent on everybody playing efficient in their role. And that's something that hasn't really happened so often,
right?
Is it because you're getting Caleb starting, you're getting extended minutes from everybody because of injury and things of that sort. This feels like a much more balanced offense. And I know it's just one night, and I know it's just one version of this.
But it feels like we were getting to this point, though. We saw this last year where they took Victor Oladipo out of the rotation after he came back from his injury. Just like, it's just hard to figure out where he fits in this thing. To your point, maybe he gets minutes in the play. I don't know. But I know this worked better than anything we've seen all season. I know that.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. David, thanks for joining me.
Get home. Enjoy a beer, Wes.